Yep. You're excited about the idea of possibly adding McLaurin from a Jets perspective?
Well, I want to have the conversation with you. I'm intrigued by the possibilities here. So obviously he wants out of Washington. All right, so everybody knows that. So once you look at teams that would be in the market for his services, you'd think there'd be a lot, but not everybody's under the cap. Like the Raiders have some money. The Chargers have some money. The Niners have some money. Maybe some other teams can manipulate their salary cap, cut guys, restructure, whatever. So I'm sure it's longer than that list that I'm presenting. What's interesting to me about McLaurin, right? Number one, he's awesome. Everybody knows that. Number two, he's put up big numbers outside of last year with horrendous quarterback play. So while Justin Fields is not going to be horrendous, it's not like he's got a super, you know, I mean, he's used to getting his plays being double teamed with average to subpar quarterback play. So that's appealing. And the other thing too, now, obviously Fields went to Ohio State, didn't play with him there, but Garrett Wilson did for a minute. And the other thing, and this is what I really like, and the Mets have, the Jets have $30 million in cap space, so they could do it if they wanted to. The Jets passing game coordinator now, his name is Scott Turner, was the play caller from McLaurin in Washington. So, number one, do you have a need? Yeah, I would say that the Jets have a need opposite of Garrett Wilson. Maybe you don't have a $30 million appetite, whatever. Okay, that's fine. But you've got
in addition to paying Wilson would be the thing.
I know. I get it. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's why we'll flush through it.
Yeah.
So they've got a need, okay, on the other side, number one. Number two, you know, you've got somebody who's going to be calling the plays who knows how to deploy him better than anybody in the Jets building right now because he already did it. Now, the question is not would Woody spend the money. He would. I think the real question is, and why don't you take the first stab at this, are the Jets going to throw the ball enough with Fields as a runner to justify bringing in, you know, having two highly paid receivers, number one? And number two, are they too early in the Aaron Glenn, you know, revamping of culture to take a massive swing like this?
Bingo.
What do you think?
That, to me, the second part is the biggest thing. Now, let me preface it by saying I love Terry McLaurin as a player. Also, I don't know if you need to pay the two wide receivers, especially where they're at in trying to build this thing back up. The third thing would be, look at McLaurin, a veteran. He was on a lot of losing teams with the Commanders, putting up big numbers. And now, just the team starting to become legit Super Bowl contenders, now he's being selfish and wants his money and wants out. That goes against everything that Aaron Glenn and Muji are trying to build here. So I love the player. I don't hate the fit. You would know more about the cap than I would. Like, obviously, I know it could fit. But then, okay, well, what happens next year if the Jets need? Like, we don't know what this Jets team is. So maybe there's going to be a glaring need that we're like, all right, it was a nice building block, but now this is clearly what they need. Could it be a second receiver to complement Garrett Wilson? Could it be a defensive piece? I don't know. I just have a theory where I wouldn't want to pay two high-end receivers, especially in year one, and bringing in a guy who's unhappy with another organization to come to the Jets, where Aaron Glenn has finally, it feels, cleaned up the mess here.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple of things. If this was year two of Aaron Glenn, and we at least had an early blueprint of what he wants to do, and maybe more specifically how they respond to cleaning up the penalties, meaning they're more ready to win, I think I'd be all over.
Right.
That's number one. I'm gonna defend him and push back on, and I hear you. I know what you're saying. Like, wow, I mean, the Commanders finally got good. This guy wants out. What are we dealing with? Is he a petulant
selfish? Right,
no, right. Okay, that's logical. I hear you. But to me, in the NFL, with non-guaranteed contracts and the callous nature of how these guys get paid, I don't begrudge any player at any point in any situation flexing whatever leverage or utilizing whatever leverage they might have. So that doesn't concern me as much as it might concern you. What does really concern me is how I think the Jets want to play this year moving forward with Aaron Glenn, and if Justin Fields is around for a while. Now, I've said a couple times this summer, I think the Jets are going to try to run the ball, maybe a 60-40 split, 60 pass, 40 run, maybe some deviation of that, but much more run-centric than pass, because that's what Fields does. And if you're going to do that, you know, try to, because sometimes you're going to be down 17-3, you got to abandon the run, throw the ball, etc. Football happens. But if you're going to look to run the ball, is it worth that kind of money? I'm not worried about the other stuff, like he's a malcontent. The money to have him get four targets a game.
Well, let me ask you, though. Yeah. How do we know what the Jets need? I want to use the cap space, But I don't know if it's best to spend it on a second wide receiver. Maybe if everything else, if everybody else does their job and the defense is sound and solid and the offensive line can protect and they can run the football, then yeah, maybe it would be worth it. But I don't know because we haven't seen what this team's going to look like at all
yet. Yeah, I get it. That's why I said if it was year two of Aaron Glenn, who's an Aaron Glenn kind of player and who's not? I don't know. I mean, I've got some guesses, and I think we all do, but we'll find out, you know, when
McLaurin,
the rubber...
by the way, to your point, BT, sorry, he's not a diva. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? The Jets right now have a great feel. No nonsense, no issues, no nothing. The polar opposite of what it's been for however many freaking years here. Like, the last thing I want to do is take somebody else's problem. I'm not saying he's a malcontent, and then we're going to say, well, he's going to get the contract, he's going to be happy. Okay, maybe, but maybe not, and I just... I like the idea of seeing what Glenn's going to build up first with this team and decide how Muji wants to best use that cap. They already spent on a wide receiver keeping Garrett Wilson. I don't know if I would do it again.
I would be much more reluctant. Again, I'm not saying I'm all in on this. First of all, you have the exploratory conversation. Are you definitely going to trade him? What do you want? And then you have a conversation with his agent. What are you looking for money-wise? Okay, then at least you get parameters. And if they loosely fit, well, now you take step two. If step one is a no-go, see, it doesn't work out.
Right.
But because they paid Garrett Wilson, and because they paid Sauce, and because they've got a very young in Olu Fashanu, and his numbers were phenomenal before he got hurt, or I think a really good left tackle. Tippmann's making peanuts. He's a good player at center. I think their old line's intact. Mason Taylor's opening up a lot of eyes. I know this is just early camp talk, but we're in early camp talk, so it is what it is. You know, Mason Taylor, they finally have, I think, a vertical down the seam, cheap, explosive matchup problem from the tight end spot. So I don't think there's a ton of holes to fit. You know, Q's been paid. Quincy's been paid. The running backs are young. Breece Hall's probably gone after this year. You're not going to pay him. I wouldn't do it. And he got some other guys behind him, Braylon Allen, who are good and interesting and cheap. So I do think that they can manipulate the numbers. And by the way, and Tiki always says this, the money's fungible. Like, it might seem as a... I don't know if we could do this now. All you got to do next offseason, restructure, cut somebody you don't want, save $3 million here, save $2 million here, nickel and dime. All of a sudden, it's totally different financial situation.
Let me pull a BT here and ask you it this way. Why is Washington not paying him?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
You know what I'm saying? But you would always say that. And in this case, I think it's a good one. Like, dude, they're trying to win here. They got a young quarterback. They had success. He's been their best receiver. Mm-hmm. Why are they paying him?
Well, I don't know the answer. It's a good question. It's a little disconcerting. I don't think. I'm not there. I don't think it's all contractually based. I just don't think he's loving the organization. And yeah, if they put a contract commensurate with, you know, Jamar Chase or Garrett Wilson or whatever, he's probably going to be pretty happy pretty fast.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little deeper than that. Sometimes guys want to change the scenery. He's got a lot of Ohio State boys now in the building. Maybe he doesn't love the coaches. I don't know, but it's not enough to dissuade me from even picking up the phone and saying, hey, Commanders, what's the deal? We might be interested.